Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, greetings, folks. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. I'm Chris Brown, and I'm your host, who is so honored to serve you. This is the show where we talk about your life and we talk about your money as we together reclaim stewardship, which is managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. You can learn much more about that at stewardship.com, and be sure to check out the Chris Recommends section, where there is a plethora of resources there for you. Well, our phone lines, they are open. Call in with your stewardship questions, and not just about money, but just about life. How do we steward this life for His glory? The phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Carlos already is getting in on the action, and he's calling in from Houston. Carlos, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chris, and yourself?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
That's great. I was wondering, I got two and a half questions. The first one would be, I was wondering, how is it a good idea to keep my cash in the bank, and if so, how much is it good, you know, to keep in the bank, and how much, what percentage should I keep at home cash? You know, with all these, you know, scary...
Carlos, stop it. There's nothing scary. I don't know where that stuff comes from. That's crazy. Now, listen, Carlos, yeah. It depends on how much money it is. If it's a lot, I'll hold it for you. I have no problems holding your money for you. No, Carlos, listen.
No. You know what happened in Greece? All of a sudden, the bank shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'll say with the market, you know, I go to church, so I shouldn't be scared about this. I'm not scared about that.
Well, from two different standpoints, Carlos, you shouldn't be scared. One is right. You go to church, and God has not given us a spirit of fear. But the other reason why is there is no recession, there is no crash, there's nothing going on. Now, there is in Greece for sure, but your money is safe in the bank, okay? I'm saying that boldly, and that's where I would keep your money. Now, how much money are you talking about?
Well, you see, it's about savings, about $20,000. I mean, it's not a lot,
yeah.
But it's $20,000, and so I'm like, okay, should I just how much money then cash do you recommend to keep at home? I don't even
none
I don't
like zero
wallet,
Carlos
wallet.
Carlos zero nothing
zero
you don't okay, need money at home ahead. You need some money in your wallet, but just for spending, but you don't need any money underneath the mattress. That's crazy talk.
Yes, okay.
Your money is 10 times more safe, probably 100 times more safe at the bank,
okay.
Than when it's insured there. It's safe there, safer there than it is at home.
Yes,
so you don't want to go that route. I don't know who you're listening to, but how much do you make a year?
About 115,000 a year.
Okay. Well, congrats on your good income.
Thank you.
That's great. You need about one more month's of income. So you need another 10,000,
mm-hmm.
and then you need to stop, stop putting money in the bank at that point. You need to start investing.
Okay.
So you need to have 3 to 6 months of savings in a money market account in your bank. It's not really an investment. Don't get upset because the interest rate's not good on it. It's really insurance. Your return on that money.
41 cents.
Yeah, it's a joke. Right. Your return.
Yeah.
Listen, and a lot of folks don't listen to it this way or don't look at it this way. Your return on that money is the mm-hmm. debt avoidance. Because you have it there, when life throws you curveballs, you don't go into debt. So therefore, that's your return. And then on
that's
top
right.
of that, it's your self-insurance. So a lot of your deductibles and all your other insurance can be higher because you're self-insured. You've got that, you know, outside of a catastrophe, you're pretty well taken care of. So if you
okay.
are out of debt, mm-hmm. Carlos, then that's what you need to do. Another $10,000 in your money market account and then start investing. Well, Carlos, before I let you go, I want to switch gears real fast and let you know I'm going to be out there in Houston, and I want to see you. I'd love to connect with you and want you to know about a great event. So February 5th and 6th, February 5th and 6th, really the 5th is that Friday night. I'll be doing an event at Lakewood Church with Joel Osteen and the Lakewood Church out there. So make sure you check that out. February 5th and 6th.
Okay.
And I'd love to see you. Our next call comes in from Washington. This is Lori. Lori, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you.
How can I serve you?
Well, I've had accrued some Parent Plus loans first, and then I went back to get my Ed certificate and my master's, an attachment to that. And I thought a few years ago that I did the consolidation that was had been provided by the government, but I just found out the other night that I didn't actually do the right one. I've noticed that I'm paying all this interest, and it's a little lower level, so I'm just barely, I've just almost been going in the hole every month, and even though I've been making the payments, I'm trying to pay extra and everything, but I'd heard on, it's a reputable radio station, student loan council organization that was providing loans for public employees, school loan forgiveness, and that was the first I'd really heard about they call it the Obama forgiveness loan situation. Anyway, it kind of happened fast. I actually went ahead and did it. I'm really concerned. I hope I didn't respond to a scam, and I'm frustrated, and because I think that if there are programs like that, why do we have to? Why is there such a menagerie of stuff that we have to crawl through to get to the reality of the real thing? And anyway, I guess my question to you is, what do you think about the Obama forgiveness program? And is there legitimately one? And it's called the William D. Fort Federal Direct Loan Program.
Lori, I just want to say I don't really like the whole idea of the loan forgiveness program, and here's why. Because who received the benefit from the degree and from the schooling?
I do.
Okay. And who is going to be paying for this loan?
Okay. In the end, it's the government is going to be.
Okay. That's the right answer. Right. And, well, not really in the end. So if the government's paying for it, then who's really paying for it?
Me.
Well, all of us.
In the end.
All of us are. Yeah, so the taxpayers are paying for it. So here's why I don't like it is because the Bible says in Galatians 6:5, for each one of you will bear his own load. And it talks about personal responsibility. And I can't speak to whether this is actually a scam or not. It doesn't actually sound like one. When you say the word legitimate, I think the way you're referring to legitimate, it's probably is. When I think about legitimate, I think about it's not, because the government is actually going to forgive your loan with money that they don't even have.
Right. I totally understand that. And so, I really agree with you. And one other thought here, though, and I am in a Title I school, and I had learned about a program there. I kind of feel okay about this, that I can, if I teach at least 5 years here, I can get, it's like, I think it used to be 15,000, but now it's 17, I think, through our state. I can get that forgiven. Now, what do you think about that?
I think if it's a reward for performance, if it's some kind of performance where you've been there 5 years and they want to reward you and it's on a reward basis, if it's just to forgive your loans, I don't like it. If it's reward, and really at the end of the day, these kind of programs drive me nuts because the government is really, in a sense, spending our money. It frustrates me, but it's a little bit better when it's based on reward and it's not just a free handout. So I think it's probably, to answer your question, I think it's legitimate from the standpoint of not a scam. I don't think it's legitimate from the standpoint that the government should be doing something like this.
Yes, and I agree with you too. So, all righty. Well, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very, very, very much.
All right. Thank you, Lori. Thank you for the call.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
Our next call comes in from San Antonio. This is Daniel. Daniel, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How can I serve you?
Okay. Sir, I just have a quick question. Right now, me and my wife are on baby step number two. We don't have any more debt except for two cars. It's $35,000, but it's at 2.99%, the interest rate. Now, the next one will be the mortgage, which is $67,000 at 7%. So my question is if it should go in order, but since the percent is higher on the mortgage, should I attack this one and try to pay it off and then go for the cars? And I also have a $35,000 in savings, so I could pay off the cars, or I could give that to the mortgage and then just keep on paying.
I understand the wrestle. So it's $35,000 total in cars. So what are they each?
One is $15,000 and one $20,000.
Okay. And what's your goal as a what's your goal? Your goal is to get out of debt as fast as possible?
I'm not so worried about getting off of debt. I just want to, it's my goal, but I just want to keep everything balanced. We have a small business too. Now my wife quit her job to come into the business as well.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to save for the business as well. I'm keeping my personal completely separate than the business. So I have my own savings for the business too.
Well, what's your income?
Well, right now we're taking together $80,000 a year.
Okay.
But we're living also about $50,000 to $60,000 in the business to be able to expand, to grow.
Okay. I mean, if you're asking me what order to do them in, I would do smallest to largest, no matter the interest rate. So I would do the 15 and then pay off the 20 and then pay off the house. You want to keep your consumer debt separate from your mortgage debt. And, for me, I really would like to challenge your philosophy on keeping everything balanced. You're going to get further faster. If you get out of debt, you can save faster, you can invest faster, you can expand the business faster. If you take a good probably year and a half at that income level and have no debt in your life, you're going to get further faster.
Okay.
So just want to encourage you in that. And once you've paid off the cars, just be really careful not to, because I don't hear an intensity in your voice about getting out of debt. Just be careful. You know, when you look at your debt payments on the cars, you're going to realize you bought a car for roughly $20,000 or $25,000 and you ended up paying $35,000.
Yeah.
Which is crazy when you have a good income.
Yeah.
It's crazy, period.
Yeah. No, actually, and I know I'm not planning to get it in debt anymore. Actually, everything from since 6 months ago that I started following your philosophy.
Yeah.
I've been buying everything cash, whatever we can afford. If not, we're safe for it. You know, but yeah, those cars were from a couple of years ago.
So. Yeah. And that's fine. I would love to hear some intensity in your voice that you're going to stay out of debt, because I really do believe you're going to build your business and expand your business faster doing it God's way, which is staying out of debt. And Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to vomit, so fools repeat their folly. So once you have these paid off, don't go back into debt. Okay.
Sure.
All right.
I won't.
All right, Daniel. Thanks for the call. So as parents, it can be tough to talk to your kids about money. You ever have trouble doing that? Or maybe you don't even have a clue where to start this conversation. That's what Smart Money Smart Kids can help you with, okay? And right now, we are offering a $59 deal. The best part is you can take Smart Money Smart Kids in a class or as a self-study at your own pace. Head over to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and you'll find all the information you need to start Smart Money Smart Kids today. Or give us a call at 866-357-3283 to find out more. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
Thanks for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
You can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. We did receive an email just now from Joey. It says, first, I wanted to thank you for doing what you do. I love listening to the show anytime I get the chance. I'm a 22-year-old male that is currently serving in the military. I'm single and I have zero debt. Congratulations. My plan is to get out of military and go to school full time. Don't have to worry about being in debt due to the financial aid. I set up an emergency fund, paid off my debts, and have saved up 3 months more. I've set up a budget, and it has allowed me to save over $20,000. When I leave my station in Hawaii by next May, I plan on selling my 1999 Camaro. Not the best car, but it gets me from point A to point B. So my question is, should I get started with baby step 4, or should I sell my car and invest in a newer car and start back over with baby step 2? Would appreciate some advice. Thanks and God bless. Well, Joey, first of all, again, congratulations on being debt-free. You want to make sure that you stay there. You can tell that you are proud of the scenario and the position that you're in, and you want to make sure that you stay there. And you had mentioned here, invest in a newer car. Please don't ever use the word invest and new car in the same sentence. That is a depreciating pile of metal, and that is not an investment. That is a luxury. That is a purchase. The farthest thing from an investment. A new car will actually lose 60% of its value in the first 4 years. So don't call it investing. But to answer your question, you want to go forward with baby step 4, start saving or investing 15% of your income in long-term investments, and at the same time, save for your next car. Make sure you stick with what's working. And don't lose sight of the goal. You want to live life and continue to live life looking through the windshield instead of looking silly, driving forward while looking through the rearview mirror as you're paying for stuff that you've already spent or you've already purchased. That's crazy. We want to look through the windshield. Good question, though. Our next call comes in from New Mexico. This is David. David, how are you?
Great. How about yourself, Chris?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
So kind of a complicated scenario, but basically I'm new to the financial piece. I actually just went through Financial Peace University at the local church. And, you know, my wife and I are really changing our lives. And you know, one thing that I've heard, you know, you and some of the other personalities talk about is that you can't really get into other people's lives about it. Well, basically, the problem is it's my mother. She's in a terrible, terrible spot. Mm-hmm. What's happening is, She had a vehicle, and this is just one thing. She's got $50,000 in debt. She makes $48,000 per year, and that was just her recent raise, clean. And she had a Acura RDX, and you know, a nice car, but well outside of her income. And a special came around. She was paying $500 a month. A special came around, a deal. And what happened was that they basically conned her into a lease. Plus $4,000, meaning she would get $4,000 and the lease car, and they got the RDX. So, you know, 3 years or 32 months from now, she's not going to have anything.
Right.
And so, you know, and she's in a tough spot. And, well, basically, I don't know how to advise her from here. And it's hard because I'm trying to tell a person that's 59, like, hey, you need to change the way you live and you need to do this. And the other thing is, I'm sorry to make this so complicated, but, you know, so she's in a second marriage. Mm-hmm. How do I tell her husband, you know, hey, you guys need to do this? Like, I've offered them Financial Peace University, at least I offered her that. And I said that they have to go together and they have to go to all of them, but
right.
It's hard to tell another man, hey, clean up your house. You know, he's not my dad or anything like that. And
right.
It's just not my place.
Wow. And so the income is $48,000 with the new husband or no?
No. Actually, her husband makes substantially more money, but for some reason they have their finances separate. And that's another thing that it's hard to tell them, like, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah, that is tough. Very. I definitely recognize that. And does she have any savings at all?
She does. She has a 401k. I'm not exactly sure. Let's, an estimate she's got, you know, $65,000 in there. So,
in the investing?
Not a lot.
In the investments?
No other investments in that, no, sir.
Okay. So no liquid cash?
Not really, no. She has maybe a couple thousand put away, and that's it.
Okay. And how old is she?
59, sir.
Okay. And her health?
She's in good health. She works every day, and thank God she's good.
Okay. And is she open to coaching? I'm not hearing that she's super open, but not closed either. What?
No, she's open to coaching. My mother is very into the church, And she's very open to coaching, but at the same time, I mean, you have to understand, like, you know, this is my mother. We're talking about a seven woman here.
Right, right. No, that's definitely unique dynamic. So what's her goal? I mean, is this your goal or is it hers? Does she care? I mean,
yeah, she does. I mean, when she saw what we were doing, that the fact that we had paid off our debt, I mean, we're debt free now and we don't own a house. I'm not active duty military, so it's a lot easier to, you know, because we just rent for while we're, you know, enlisted. But it's so, you know, for me, it's she's seen what we're doing and how we're putting away money and how much we can put away by essentially the raise we gave ourselves by having a written budget. So she's definitely seeing the benefits of it, but she doesn't see that she can get anywhere right now where she's at.
Right, right.
So again, she basically lost her car and $50,000 in debt with student loans and no credit cards, thank God. But.
Well, here's the deal: she just doesn't know what she doesn't know. She just has no knowledge. And the Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. And the bottom line is. If she's going to have these separate finances, which I don't recommend at all, by the way, all you guys that are listening, then you need to sit down with her when the timing's right, maybe go out to brunch or something, and have her, don't tell her, have her play out what this looks like as it goes. So what does life look like at 63? What does it look like at 65? Let's just play out the numbers. And when she sees herself at 63 or 64 or whatever, 68, with absolutely no money, and a new man in the house decides, oh, no, we have separate finances, you're up a creek, maybe that'll waken her up to think, you know what? I'm driving around in my security. That's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm driving around in my future. I'm driving around in my retirement. And she might realize, you know what? That car was fun for a little while, but it's not worth that much. And so she might trade it in. Right. Yeah, she's going to take a big hit on trading in the lease. But whatever the hit is, it's worth it to get out of that. So just to get herself a safe car, and I'd get out of the lease as much as possible. As far as coaching her, you really just want to take her back to the basics. Make sure you have a budget. Sit down with her. Give her the accountability she needs. Obviously, in a non-accusatory way, you just want to make sure that you're there for her, and she can throw ideas off of you, and you can give your solid opinion back. And then you want to go through the baby steps. Make sure she has $1,000, then the debt snowball. She needs to live on less than she makes. She needs to get some more income, and she needs to get out of this lease. But that's number one, is you got to go out and you got to have a conversation, and you got to make sure that she's open to your very friendly coaching. But she just doesn't know any better. And I think don't try to turn her so fast. It might be a slow turn. Okay. She's already made the decision, so she doesn't have to trade in that lease like today. She's going to have to, you know, just don't, if you turn it too fast, and make sure you start with the why. When you take her out, if you can make her look at her future in 5 years, then hopefully she'll make her own decision. She'll be more open to your coaching. But that's really it. Play it out for her. Say, hey, listen, either you need to combine finances or you're going to be in trouble in 5 years. And I love you, Mom. I'm going to support you, love you the whole time. I'm going to pray with you, but I'm not going to be bailing you out financially. So.
Right. And the dynamic with her husband? I know that you've talked a lot about this, and I'd ask you more. But
yeah, they just need
with her husband. How do you?
Yeah, they need to combine finances. It's that simple. They're either in the same boat or they're not. And this is typically a wrestle for remarriages. There is not as high a level of trust, and it might take some time for them to feel that trust, but ideally that would happen before they tie the knot. But because they already have, I think just planting seeds. Hey, why are you guys not combined finances? Like, why? What? Just asking questions and making them wrestle with it. Obviously, you're not going to tell them what to do, but maybe asking the question will get them to wrestle.
Hey, that's a good word. Thanks very much, sir.
All right. Thank you. All right, well, the team is telling me that we are done for the day. Thank you so much for your questions. Remember, you can check all this stuff out at stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com, and the section Chris recommends is a great resource for you. There's a plethora of different resources there that can help you along your journey. And on social media, make sure you check us out there. Chris Brown on air on all platforms. We're excited to not only encourage you, not only to equip you, and to educate you, but also to inspire you. And, man, we are cheering you on. So continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory.